Welcome to the Circle Sessions featuring the Circle of Experts. The Circle of Experts are Yasmin Robles from Robles Designs, Tanisha English-Amamu of TJE Communications, and Don the Idea Guy. I'm Brett Johnson from Circle 270 Media Podcast Consultants. Each week, one of the Circle of Experts joins me to talk about critical aspects of growing your podcast. We focus on marketing, social media, monetization, and website design to help you implement all of these together. This week, Don is here with the Circle of Experts. He possesses creative powers beyond those of mere mortals. Don the Idea Guy rescues those in need of innovative ideas through his brainstorming sessions. They are at $5 brainstorms. Don, thanks for joining me today.
Hey, nice to be here. We're not alone.
We're not alone. And video watchers, they know we have a special guest, and here we go with the podcast. Lee Hills, Lee Launches. Thanks for joining us, Lee. We've been connected a long, long time, but let's get you back on because we've mentioned a couple of your products on the podcast. So welcome on the podcast.
Thanks, Brett. Thanks, Don, for having me. Yeah, great to be here and to talk things, all things podcasts and AI and launching projects.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about Lee Launches before we talk specifically about, LaunchCast and a couple other projects.
Well, it kind of started for me. I was freelancing. I was doing different projects. And I had constantly having different ideas and I couldn't frame ideas. And I think it was about the time that I met Don and then I met you. And I had this idea of, having some kind of brand to launch my different ideas. And I think it was through conversations with Don, actually, that this idea of becoming Lee Launches to kind of encompass everything I was wanting to do. Because some days I'd wake up and I'd have this idea and that I'd want to launch and I'd shelve it because I couldn't see where it fitted into what I was doing. And so kind of owning that and saying, okay, I'm just going to launch literally any idea I want on my terms. And that's how it came to be. So it started with launching different info products. And then I've gone on to more recently, the last couple of years, launch SaaS products, my own SaaS products through no code, particularly no code apps. That's been my focus.
I do have to say you launched, pre-modifying campers before it was cool. So, I mean, that's when we got together with Don is you were modifying campers to live in, basically, if you wanted to say.
Hashtag van life.
I love it.
When we were originally talking, we had a mastermind group going on, and Lee actually had a strong brand at that time. He was Mr. Explainer. He was doing explainer videos. Yeah. And then he started doing freelance advisory and putting together freelance groups and freelance email newsletter. And he was struggling with changing a brand that he had owned Mr. Explainer for so long. And just in the conversations, the Lee Launches brand naturally evolved because he kept talking about the different projects he wanted to launch. And like, well, you can't pass up a good alliteration with Lee Launches. And he's been Lee Launches, I think, ever since. And it's perfect how it's dovetailed into this spread of, you mentioned van life, and he's done the no code pieces. It's been really interesting, and it doesn't preclude him from doing video explainers anymore, but it doesn't limit him to that either. So it's been kind of fun to watch this Lee Launch brand take off.
Yeah, the camper van project was one of the first I launched as kind of Lee Launches. And I don't know what it is with me. If I have an idea, I always want to try and find a way to monetize it or turn it into a business. And it doesn't always work out, but I try and make it that way. So with the camper van idea, I ended up converting my camper van, as you said, and ended up hiring it out. So people would rent it out, particularly during the pandemic. We had quite a lot of bookings because people, especially in the UK, couldn't go abroad. So they were doing a lot of staycations, and during that time, I was glad that I'd launched that project because we had a camper van to hire out.
Yeah. Couldn't have asked for better timing. Exactly. No.
Sometimes you don't know when the launch is, going to come to become fruitful, I guess.
Right. So let me ask you this before we get into, the LaunchCast. So, your focus has been launching. Yeah. How do you make a choice to when you finally say, I got to give this up and move on to the next one? Is it that your brain is just moving so fast that you create it, put it on a shelf, or how do you decide that it doesn't have legs? It just doesn't make sense to do this anymore.
I found that quite hard at the beginning. So, I mean, we were talking off air just before we started, and Don reminded me that during the pandemic, I had this goal to launch a new thing every day. And I got to the end of that. I launched one new project a day for 60 days during the pandemic. And as I got to the end of it, I realized I can't possibly sustain all these projects. And I think what I've realized recently is it's about kind of finding yourself, learning as you're doing it, and also maybe finding that project that maybe does become the one that probably takes over, and that means that you can't carry on the other projects. So that's what I've tried to do more recently. I feel like I'm maturing more into it. I don't think I'm there yet, but I feel like I'm getting the mindset of that I'm going to continue to launch these projects till the one that kind of takes the full focus, kind of takes me over, does, and then those other projects will just naturally fall to the side without trying to contrive it or trying to manage them all, because like you say, you can't possibly manage them all.
Yeah, I would think it'd be difficult because each one of them is your baby. Yeah. I mean, there's a little bit of effort in there, a little blood, sweat, and tears, whether it's a day or not, but you did put some thought to it and you thought, well, this has some life. Abandon it. Yeah.
Some of the projects I've sold. So I have sold some projects and that's been good. That's been a learning experience, has been fun as well. And also it means that you're not just leaving it to the side. You're giving it to someone else to take on, and who might be better equipped to take it to the next level. I mean, one of those projects was a project that I did with another friend called Satya. He was a visualizer, a visual thinker. And we had this project called Why Visuals, and we built it together. We collaborated, and then we ended up selling that just before Christmas.
Hmm. Yeah.
That's a very cool project. I like that one a lot.
Yeah, yeah. So, so let's get down to the nitty gritty here. Don and I had brought up about LaunchCast at least about a month ago, maybe a couple of months ago. You'd sent us kind of the pre-launch, play with it a little bit, and very interesting. So let's talk about LaunchCast. What is it? What was the idea behind creating it? And let's go through the genesis.
LaunchCast really came, again, as many of my ideas sometimes come from conversations with Don. Don and I had been talking about a tool to generate scripts for ads, for radio ads. Yeah. And we've been talking about that, and we'd played around with some rough versions of that idea. And as the kind of technologies that has emerged and advanced, I started to get this idea of, well, what if you could go from idea to script to audio to artwork all in one flow? And that was really where the idea came from. And I guess it came from my own wanting to find different ways to create content for myself. And podcasting has been something I've been interested in for a long while, especially known Don and yourself, Brett. So it was really just I wanted to find a way to create new content for myself as well. And so I started trying to build on from what Don and I had talked, and was able to build something in one flow that takes you exactly that, from script to audio to podcast. And that's kind of where I've got up to with the project.
Okay. So a new user. Go ahead, Don. Yeah.
Yeah. I was excited to be a beta tester on it, where you could literally go in, give it a title, give it a subject. It would generate the script for you. You could accept the script as is, or you could edit it. And you went on to audio. You'd pick one of six different voices, which sounded really great. But you could pick the one you wanted, and it would record it for you. And then if you wanted to, you go on to another stage where it would produce cover art for your podcast episode too. So you could stop any part of the way. Like if you just need help generating a script, stop at the script stage. If you wanted the audio, if you wanted the voiceover, which as a podcaster, I could see using that as to create a separate segment. We have a friend that created an online radio station, and for the longest time, he was using an AI voice to do his weather report. He would have an AI record the weather. He'd feed it the script. It would record it. He could name it, give it a personality, and that way it didn't have to be the same online DJ every time. So I could really see a lot of potential use for the tool that Lee's created in using it to produce a very short podcast. I have a client that I think this would be great for once we can get the length of the podcast a little longer. Or you could use it to record just an ad. Like Lee said, it was based off inspiration of a conversation we had about writing scripts for radio ads, but he created this tool where you could create the ad and you could have the voice do the ad too. So it doesn't have to be just a podcast. It's this AI audio spot creator. It's really cool. That's why we keep talking about it on the show.
Yeah. I appreciate that. I mean, one of the ideas, often the products I build a, you know, to scratch my own itch, as it were. And one of the ideas I was kind of moving towards was this idea of being able to take content from different places, you know, based on your brand or your interest, whatever it might be, or what your main niche is, whatever it might be, and then turn that into a podcast from different sources. So you could, you know, bookmark those pieces of content maybe, and then have it turn that into a script for each episode.
Yep.
Yeah, that's makes sense.
I hope you're still developing that, because it's just an amazing tool, either to function on its own or to produce additional content for stuff. You know, we keep talking about how, you know, you're literally the guy who launches brand, right? Lee launches. And think about how many people probably said that they were going to start a podcast this year and haven't done it yet. And Brett, I imagine from a lot of the folks you've spoken to, one of the reasons people don't start is they don't like the sound of their voice.
Yeah.
Well, if that's true, well, use an AI voice. Get started. Until you can get over it, use an AI voice. You could paste in your content and have the voice from Launchcast do the recording.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that was one of my goals with it, was to, you know, if you don't want to have your own voice, or if you're like me, often when I record my own podcast on my own, and Brett will remember this from days back when we first met, I think I spent hours just thinking over and overthinking my podcast and editing it. And Brett was saying, just get it out there. And if you're one of those people that maybe takes your time over those things, then maybe doing this, you know, having an AI voice generate it for you can at least get you to launch. Yeah. One of my goals is to eventually have it so you can maybe speak to it, have it edit it down, the script, and then recreate it in your voice. That's one of my goals for it, but I've got a few other steps to get to before I get to that.
Yeah. So I know when you created this, at the same time, there was another similar software out there. I believe it was called Podstash. I still have the icon in my Chrome extension, but it kind of went away. But it was that you would save a web page, a blog, whatever you want to, and it would convert it into audio and summarize it. So you wouldn't, it's kind of a TDLR situation, but instead of reading it in a shortened version, you'd actually hear the audio version of it. So I think there are a lot of different applications as you progress with Launchcast, whether it's a user experience in that direction or creating the podcast. It could be putting your newsletter up into Launchcast and having a voice read it and deliver it in audio form.
I mean, I find that, you know, other creator friends, and I know Don's one of these people that often share content with me or something he'll find for me that I might be interested in. Sometimes you haven't got time to read the article. Maybe you're in the middle of the work. And what if you could take that and just listen to it, you know, rather than have to read it?
And the summarize, I think think about all the book summary apps that are out there now, you know, Headway and all the other ones that I can't think of right now. I've probably got three of them on my phone right now. Headway, Blinkist, where they story shots, where they take books and summarize them. the articles that, and I do tend to send out a lot of articles to people because I think they'll be interested, but nobody's had enough time to read all those articles. But if you could just feed those into, like Brett, you talked about, what was the name of the tool you had bookmarked?
Podstash. Yeah.
So Podstash, I remember you sharing that with me, is very cool, but it takes the entire content and turns it into an audio version of the content. Mm-hmm. I like someplace in between where if it take that, summarize it for you, and then give you the audio for that. I think that's another viable product that people would be interested in too.
Yeah.
Right. Right. And then going a little bit deeper in this rabbit hole, let the software to summarize it. Then you add your input going, this is why I think you should be really considering this, and put that in there as well. Boom.
Yep.
you got yourself almost a pitch for business, quite frankly.
It's kind of why we started the Riff from the Headlines piece. There's so many articles and not everybody can read them. Yeah. So we share the article, share the link, and then we give our 2 cents worth on it. If it's worth people's time, though, they can go in there and read the whole article if they want. Yeah. But if they don't, they go, yeah, I'm not into that. They can just skip it too and cross it off their list of things they had on there to read.
Right.
Lee, I had a question for you on the tool you created, LaunchCast. As it's been out there for a while and you've had other people kind of playing around with it, you've had time to germinate on this concept. Have there been any other use cases that have come to mind with having that tool out there? Maybe they're podcast related, maybe they're not, but any other, knowing that this tool is available, what else does that make possible?
Yeah, I think one of the main pieces of feedback that I keep hearing from people who've tested it and used it is to be able to turn it into an RSS feed or put it straight into a podcast service like Spotify or Captivate FM, those kind of services. So I'm thinking about that a lot. I think that was one of the main pieces of feedback. I thought about video. Video came up for me a bit, whether I could add video. But I think where it's going now, I think I'm going to stick with audio for now. So I think the next main thing to try and focus on is to get it to generate your feed of episodes.
I think that'd be great. Even if you just partner with one of the podcast hosts, just so you just pick one partner and get it to work with that one, you could worry about other APIs later. But I think that's a great idea.
I noticed Substack now, because they've got a podcast feature, which I haven't had a chance to play around with, but they've now added a Spotify feature. Yep.
I saw that
too. So I'm wondering whether there could be a link to maybe go to Substack, because I'm also interested in newsletters. I've got my own newsletter as well. So I wondered about turning that into an audio version and then, sending that to Spotify.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think finding the one you're interested in, if it is the Substack and I would think that they'd be easier to work with, but the Spotify obviously has a push towards everything audio. I don't know how easy they are to work with. You mentioned one of the podcast hosting company that Brett works with a lot, Captivate. Yeah. They'd be a great one. Who's the Justin Jackson one?
Transistor, is it?
Yes, transistor.fm.
Yep. If you're looking for one podcast hosting company to go with, I would look at Transistor or Captivate. Mm-hmm. Either one of those guys is innovative and they're approachable and say, listen, I've got this tool. Is there a way we can get this audio to feed into your hosting? It gives another feature for them to offer, even to the point where maybe one of them, maybe they become your next buyer.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, you've got, as you mentioned, you're launching a lot. Another one that kind of caught both Don and my eye, obviously because you sent it to us early, but at the same time, it was fun to play with, is the keyword search software that you've got going on. So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so that's buildthekeyword.com. The idea is based on the fact that many makers like myself, many indie makers often have an idea, but don't know what audience to focus on, and maybe don't have a natural inclination to do marketing. And so the idea behind Build the Keyword is to find opportunities that might be relevant to your idea. So it works by you put in, you know, a keyword or an idea that's relevant to your topic, and then it will help you find out if people are both searching for that topic on Google and other search engines, but also tell you if those searches are low competition, telling you if you can rank for it quickly. The idea came from there's another indie maker called, I don't know if you've heard of him, Danny Postmar. He had this tweet that he made that breaks down steps to search for a keyword, and he broke down all the steps. And lots of people, this tweet, I mean if you go to it now on Twitter and look it up, you'll see it's been bookmarked I think thousands of times, if not hundreds of thousands of times, and people were using this tweet to follow the steps that he gave. And what we decided was that there seemed to be a need for a tool that actually took you through his steps in one flow, and that's what we ended up building, was a tool that does the steps that Danny Postmar shares in his tweet, and I think that's why it got a bit of attention, because it allowed people to do what they were normally having to do manually, in searching for keywords to create their content around for their idea.
Yeah. So is it better for your input just one word, or is it like maybe a phrase, get more defined is better? I'm not saying better results, but results that will actually give you some deeper insight.
At the moment, it's a keyword. Okay. So traditional keywords. So being, you know, two words or a seed keyword. But what we've been finding recently is people struggle with coming up with a keyword. So we're working on a tool at the moment that will let you just put in a topic. So say you could put in podcasting, and it will go and scrape and check all the different podcasting opportunities and keywords that you might be able to then create content around for your idea.
Perfect. Yeah. Because sometimes you just don't, you see this tool and you're not quite sure how to use it. Yeah, you know, it doesn't fit your purpose, or you don't know that it does until you really go, this is how you use this. This is great. Okay.
Yeah. We've tried to keep it simple, because I don't know if this is your experience, but this is my experience. Most keyword tools can be quite complex. You normally have to be a SEO pro to use them. And so what we tried to do was just create something for the layman, you know, just to easily be able to check an idea and find any opportunities without getting bogged down in too much data or other technical things that, you know, might not be relevant to us.
I think the other thing that makes this a successful product launch is that you didn't create some new methodology. You took an accepted and popular methodology for discovering potential keywords by this Danny Postman guy, who was already successful. It was already a popular feed. I think you guys helped make it even more popular, because you were then thinking tool that made it easier for people to follow that method. So they find Danny Postman stuff. He was very generous in sharing the methodology that he uses step by step. You took all those things and automated it. So if somebody goes there and they like it, and then they go, yeah, okay, I can do that. It's still a lot of work, but it's successful. Or I can just go here, pay a couple of bucks, and it'll do all the vetting for me and just generate a report. I think that you're taking something, it was proven, and you made it really easy for people to execute.
Yeah.
Getting things done methodology, right? So there's that book, Getting Things Done. The author put it out there. He was out there doing seminars and webinars, and people started creating Getting Things Done apps that were inspired by that methodology. Yeah. It makes it a lot easier for people to on-ramp, to onboard for that stuff, because they understand the concept, because they saw it laid out. They see other people using it, and you took it and made another tool out of it. I think that's a fantastic application.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and I dig a little bit deeper in regards to how you found this idea. I think people look at social media and just kind of bypass these long streams of comments, and they don't really dig deep into, wait a minute, this is a conversation that maybe I can convert into a podcast topic or a blog topic or whatever it might be on my next podcast, because there's a lot of chatter going on. You saw that too. You saw that it was bookmarked thousands of times. Like, okay, there's something here that's resonating that maybe I can extrapolate and even go further with a topic. I that was really smart to look at it differently, going, well, that's kind of a cool tool. It's like, wait a minute, this is super popular in regards to a reference point. Why can't we turn it the next step? I love that.
Yeah. And again, it was also, you know, scratching our own itch. We were using it for our own purposes to find ideas using his methodology, and finding, could we make this quicker? You know, just for ourselves. And then as we got into that process, we talked to a few friends and other makers, and we said, you know, would you use this? And that was really the process, which I, you know, it's taken me a long while to realize this, but it's a good process to follow. You know, if you've got an idea and you're not sure about it, maybe bounce it off a couple of friends and see if they'd be interested in it too.
Right. Exactly.
Well, the other nice thing is they've given suggestions of things to search for on the site too. And they have pre-vetted keywords that mm-hmm. you can get access to right on the front page, where you can type in, you know, what's your main keyword. As an example, they're saying newsletter names. How easy would it be for our audience to go on there and just type in podcast names? You can use this tool mm-hmm. for very specific pieces, as well as the general topics or general projects you want to launch. You can apply this concept to your podcast research.
Yeah.
Exactly. For sure. Yeah. So when you're launching those projects, how much research do you do before you kind of say, nah, that ain't going to work, you know, that sort of thing, or it's going to take too much time? So do you give yourself kind of a set of 48 hours, you know, just say, okay, let's dig into it for this amount of time. Boom. Let's put it on the shelf. Maybe later. I'm just not finding something. How do you do that?
I definitely try and write it down, make a note of it. It might seem obvious, but it was something I learned from Don. I remember early conversations with Don. He would say, right, for goodness sake, write the thing down. And I think that's a good starting point, and because then you can kind of leave it to simmer. Okay. And see if it just keeps nagging. For me, I wait and see, does it keep nagging at me? Okay. And then if it does, at that point, I might go and talk to one or two friends and just share the idea. Sometimes I might put a tweet out and, you know, do a poll, you know, what if I launch this thing? Would you be interested? I think those things can be good to do, and just see where that takes me. And then if it keeps nagging, keeps calling out to me, then I might take it further, maybe put up a landing page, or, you know, try and think technically about how I could do it. For me, I like building the thing, but that doesn't mean you have to. It might be for you or someone else who has an idea, that you find someone else to partner with you on building that thing who's maybe more technical. Okay. Which has happened to me a few times. You know, some of the collaborations I've had recently, I've worked with other people who've done a different part of the idea. Yeah. Maybe the marketing or the branding.
Right. Right. Okay. Yeah. You know, and that leads me to, you know, what we kind of talked about too. What we wanted to cover is, you know, you're launching and you're coming up with these so many different ideas. It's that, but you could be sitting on them. You could have never launched any of these, but you decided to do it. So I guess we want to talk about the concept of just doing it. Yeah. When you've got something, do it. Whether it's perfect is kind of the opposite of getting it done. It's good enough kind of feel to it. How do you approach that?
I think it is the idea of I can't, the frustration of I don't want to have it just in my notebook or in my head. Mm. I at least want to get it out and see if something happens or it goes somewhere. And so that's the approach. It's just launch it and see if your passion and energy for it continues. And let that kind of guide you, I guess. If people then become paying customers, for me, that's it's not just about validation. It gives you motivation, I think, because then other people want it. So then it makes you want to keep going, which has happened with particularly with Build the Keyword recently, where, you know, we've got people giving us feedback and using the tool and telling us what they'd like us to do with it. I think that when you get to that stage, then you keep going, you keep building. But I think it's that thing of, let me just get it released, get it launched, so that I can at least know and never have that feeling of what if.
And you could insert podcasting in there wherever you put, you know, at that concept, or like we talked about as well too, just that, okay, you got the podcast created. Now you maybe want to create some marketing tools around it. So what are you waiting for? Do a newsletter, get on social media and start promoting. It's just that the longer you wait, that's another day gone.
Yeah. I think, especially with podcasting, I think, and I've, you know, launched a couple of different podcasts, and so I've been there. I've had that feeling, and I've definitely had that feeling of not launching that podcast, of having that idea, sitting on it, and not launching it. And I think to get it out there, to get it, and then get listeners, you know, get people trying it, listening to it, and to then help validate what that idea is for your podcast, because, you know, people are going to need that podcast you've got to launch. I launched a podcast with my daughter a few years ago when we homeschooled her. And basically it was just to document her process and my process of learning what it was to homeschool. And we just had, it wasn't hundreds of thousands of people. We just had a few people who listened to it saying, you've inspired us to homeschool because we could listen to your journey. We now feel like we're confident enough to do homeschooling, which we've been thinking about doing.
You never know what kind of impact your content's going to have on the public until you get it out there. And everybody starts with zero audience. Everybody feels that they're talking to themselves for a long time. And then you get one piece of feedback and it changes your whole outlook and perspective on it. To hit on a couple of things you said, you talked about the first thing to do is write down the idea. I suggest that to everybody, because if you come up with a good idea and you don't write it down, if you don't save it somewhere, your brain is using up valuable energy trying to remember the idea. It's like, I can't forget this great idea.
Yeah.
But if you write it down where you can go to refer to it, your brain is freed up to work on the idea itself. So that was one. The other was launching it. You get your stuff to a minimum viable creation where you can put a landing page out that explains it, or you put the tweet out that says, would you be interested? Or you have a beta version of it that you can post, a prototype that people can go in and play around with. You're rarely, as long as I've known you, launched a finished product. It's always something that is in stage one. It's functional. You can get what you need out of it. But it's usually even very apparent when you go in there that you're not done yet. You know, I've posted this because you can get from A to C, but I'm still working on D, E, and F. But tell me what you think. If you love it, then I'll keep going. If you don't, then, hey, maybe it's just good enough going to C. That was the other thing I thought was very interesting.
Yeah, going back to our point at the beginning, my camper van has still got D, E, and F that needs to be added to it even after all these years. So, you know, it hasn't got a heater in it. It's those kind of things.
when Brett and I were talking about that project itself, where you had the bot, we're like, he built that without AI. There was no AI. You had to program in your answers. Think about how much easier that is now with AI responses.
Makes me think whether I should go back and do it.
Oh, we're messing with your launch plan now. Lee relaunches.
Is it Lee relaunches?
Yeah. Right. Exactly. No, I think your point of the launching piece of you know, whatever it looks like, just do it, because I know that stops a lot of creators. To stop, they think it has to be perfect, and they've never looked back or listened to episode one of a podcast that's maybe published 200 episodes.
Yeah,
go back, and I've got clients that are in that number, that they're well into 150 episodes and such, and they cringe when they go back to listen to number one, because I'll showcase an anniversary. Hey, you guys are in season number 7 now. You should go back and listen to episode 1 or 2, and they go, "I don't wanna, I don't wanna." And we talk about the progression, how things have changed, And a lot of it is just putting it out there, and you're getting feedback from people, from listeners, that they want this, they want that. You specifically have to ask for that call to action, though. You have to ask for input other than, or you're just, you know, talking to a void. Are you creating in a void, and you're creating something that's only for you, which is fine, but that's not necessarily the purpose. It's for you and the world, and you want the world's input.
I think the podcast, launching a podcast or launching a site, launching a product, it's a way to explore your ideas. It's a way for you to fix your opinion on something, because you're going to make a single version of that manifest. You're going to create this one version. What becomes possible after that version's out there is open to possibility. My wife's going through this now with a podcast she launched last year on cybersecurity. Does she have a small podcast audience that's grown since she's produced more episodes? Yeah, sure. I'm sure she has some digital followers. But what that podcast and publishing on a regular basis, her thoughts on cybersecurity, has led to is speaking gigs. All of a sudden, she's been invited to speak at different events because she's put her and her opinion and her insights into this topic out there. It's not, her podcast isn't winning awards. People aren't saying, hey, can we guest on your podcast? They're going, we love what you said about this. We like your thoughts on this idea. Will you come share them with our group? So by virtue of creating this one thing, she opened up this whole other avenue. And I think that goes to creating any idea. You create this one thing. What else opens up because you created that one thing?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. So what's the future for Elite Launches? What you got? What are you cooking on? What's the itch you want to scratch? Let's put it that way.
What's on the launching pad?
Yes, there you go.
Good question. I'm currently April. I'm trying to finish Build the Key. I say finish. I've got a long list of things I want to do for Build the Keyword. I'm not going to get to them all, but I'm trying to spend the rest of April, the last 8 days or 9 days, whatever it is, finishing off that project to a certain level. And then I'm not sure. I might go on to a new project. I might go back to Launchcasts. I would like to do that if I can, especially get onto the feed part of it, the podcast feed part of the product, and maybe explore some of the voices a bit more. But other than that, I don't at the moment have a burning idea, but who knows? It could be different tomorrow morning.
I was just going to say that.
I drink
today.
That first cup of coffee. Yep.
Yeah. I vote for Launchcast. I still want to see the episode length increase on that. The duration of the episodes. Boy, there's just so many more things I want to use that tool for myself that I hope you do get a chance to expand it more.
And obviously you got a little bit of a bullhorn here that we'll keep listeners updated on what's going on for sure.
Up to date. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Thank you. Yeah. So where can listeners find you? What's the best way to get updates? Do you have a central point that they can go to with .com or .io or whatever, you've chosen?
So I'm most on Twitter quite a bit. X.com / Lee Launches, and the same on LinkedIn. You can find me on there. And then I've also got LeeLaunches.com. I'm currently in the process of building a new site for that, which is going to have different parts to what I do. And then I've also got, I'm also on YouTube. You can find me on YouTube, LeeLaunches.com. YouTube.com/ Lee Launches.
Super. Good. Well, thanks, Lee. We've kind of danced around what this thing is, and basically our use of it. But we want to go to the source and kind of get an update and kind of get a feel for where you're going with it as well, and maybe get some podcasters excited about it, depending on their use, depending on what they're needing at the point in time. Because I've used it now, and one podcast instead of I used. The voice, I forget which voice it is. I know she got one named Brett, which he does a great job if you haven't changed names. It's a female voice that I've got an intro used for one of the podcast intro and outro for one of the podcasts that I work with. And it came out great. It was just me playing with it a little bit and with the pauses and such, but it was great for an intro outro. Perfect.
That's a great use case to have. Yeah. And like Don was saying, you could use it for your ads, if you need someone and a different voice for, mm-hmm. for the ad segment of your podcast. Yeah, yeah, that's a great exactly. use case.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So Don, let's end it. Where can people get a hold of you? And we came up with some great ideas already, but they can get a hold of you for even more ideas. And it's not just ideas, it's ideas to launch, to get going.
That's right. I am, I'm not going to claim credit for Lee's launches. He has all those, but I'll claim a little credit for standing behind him and pushing him. Get go. You could find Lee as Lee Launches on all the platforms. You can find me as Don the Idea Guy on all the platforms. Find your favorite one, whether you call it X or Twitter or Facebook or LinkedIn or whatever you want. You'll find me out there or exactly. DonTheIdeaGuy.com.
There you go. And find me at circle270media.com or mypodcastguy.com is the best way to, either way, I'll be there. And we look forward to bringing you another episode in just a few weeks. Thanks for listening.